Part 1 Chapter 1 The Lake. Just shy of 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning, the smoke from the junkyard fire on Old Ladd Road began to move east. The junkyard had been burning for hours by then. Unstoppable, marked by that putrid column, black and billowing, that could be seen for miles. But now the column was a front, pushed by the rising wind. The wispy points of its poisonous fingers crept down the road and went drifting through the trees toward the lake and toward the lake front, which was when Sheriff Dennis Ryan sent his deputy, Miles Johnson, to start clearing out the houses there, fully expecting to find them empty, of course. Labor Day was a month gone, and with it the tourist season, such as it was. The nights were longer now, and colder, tinged with the promise of an early frost. That last weekend, pleasant little curls of wood smoke could be seen drifting above the houses, as the folks staying there lit their little fires against the evening's chill. The lake was quiet, no droning motors, no shouting kids. Nothing but the rustling of the wind, the musical trickle of water beneath the wooden docks, a single loon crying in the distance. The sheriff's deputy knocked that morning at 6 houses, 6 empty houses, with locked doors and vacant driveways, until the speech he'd prepared about the evacuation order died in his mind from lack of use. There were only 2 houses left when he pulled up to number 13, rolling his eyes reflexively at the name spray-painted on the mailbox. For a moment, he even considered skipping this one, thinking to himself that if Earl Ouellette's junkyard burning to the ground was a solid start, then his daughter choking to death on its ashes would be an excellent finish. Only for a moment, of course. He'd assure himself of that later, as he drowned the day in a bottle of Jameson, drinking hard to dull the memory of the horrible things he'd seen. A fraction of a moment. Just a blip on the mental radar, really, and certainly not enough to count, for God's sake. What happened to Lizzie had happened hours before he even knew he'd be coming down the shore drive, which meant it couldn't possibly be his fault, no matter how much a small, guilty voice in the back of his mind kept suggesting otherwise. By the time he knocked, she was already dead. Besides, he did knock. He did. He took pride in his job and the badge he wore. Skipping the Ouellette house was just a petty impulse, an old grudge reminding him that it was still there. He wouldn't actually give in to it. And besides, he realized, staring at the mailbox, there was Duane, Lizzie's husband, to consider. Lizzie might not be alone in the house. Or she might not be here at all. The couple sometimes had renters at odd times, more than sometimes. If there was one person who was likely to flout the norm, to let folks stay at the place past season just to squeeze a few more bucks out of the year, it was Lizzie Ouellette. Likely as not, it would be some city folks with a high-priced lawyer who inhaled a lungful of toxic fumes, and then they'd all be in the shit. And so, he pulled into the empty driveway at 13 Lakeside Drive, stepping out onto a thick blanket of pine needles that released their scent under his feet. He knocked at the door with the words fire, danger, and evacuation fresh again in his mind, and then stepped back abruptly when the door swung inward at the first knock. Unlocked, unlatched. Renting to outsiders, out of season, was just like Lizzie Ouellette. Leaving her door standing open was not. Johnson crossed the threshold with his hand at his hip, thumbing off the safety on his weapon. Later, he'd tell the guys down at Strangler's that he knew something was wrong from the moment he stepped inside, making it sound like some sixth sense sort of thing. But in truth, any of them would have known. The air in the house was off. Not knock you on your heels bad, but stale and scented with the low, sick notes of something beginning to rot. And that wasn't all.